Turn with me to Ephesians 1. Oh, I guess we just, I'll just have you repeat it after me. Father, we just thank you for a spirit of revelation and a knowledge of you. That the eyes of our heart might be opened and enlightened to know the hope of your calling and the glorious riches of your inheritance in him. And what is the surpassing greatness of your power toward those who believe. Hallelujah. If we didn't do nothing else, if we just said that a couple of times, we've begun to tap into what's available. As everybody here knows, we've been inundated this last week. We weren't even able to have service last Sunday. But the reality is, what God is doing is presenting us an opportunity in this moment. He's presenting us with an opportunity to change lives. He's presenting us with an opportunity to be a hope and a light and to make it very, very, very evident to a nation why they need a God. Because see, in a moment like this, when everything gets stripped away, we become very aware of our need for a Savior. When everything gets stripped away, the illusion that we might have had that we've got it all in control and that everything's good, all that gets ripped off. Those clothing, those false garments get stripped off. And then God is presenting us with an opportunity to reveal a light into this situation. He's presenting us with an opportunity to reveal a hope that maybe not everybody has known. And also a comfort that maybe they've not ever felt. I mean, as we have this opportunity, we can begin to be that light. We can begin to share what God has put in us and to share. This is a time of destiny. This is a time of completion that is being ordered. There's a new thing, and with this new thing is coming a new strength to get through the completion. A new strength to begin to complete what God has already assigned us to do. A new strength to be that hope and that ray of light, that ray of love that other people might not have known. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, when the flood comes, it doesn't care. It doesn't care what color you are. It doesn't care how much money you have. It doesn't care where you live. It doesn't care about any of those things. We're all equal. You know, that's one of the things that I noticed when I was out there with the boat and stuff. Nobody cared who you were, where you were from. Nobody cared. You know, there wasn't anybody who was saying, I don't want to get in your boat because you're this. You know, no. Everybody say, hey, can you get your boat over here? That's all I care about. You know, no one cared about any of those other things that we use to create these schisms in the class structure. Those things disappear because, well, when you're refugees, we're all equal. And even though my wife and I, we were blessed to not have a flood at our house. And thank you, Jesus, most of our church has been very blessed to not have the floods at our house. We are rejoicing in that. Even as we are reaching out to those who did have an issue, even as we're reaching out in our heart and our compassion, our labor goes to help those who need the help, we can rejoice in what God is doing in our house. And as I just recognized that what he's doing, I just recognized how much of a heart of thanksgiving that we need to have. Hallelujah. Psalm 95:2 says, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to him with the psalms. Come into his presence with thanksgiving. Make a joyful noise to him with the psalms. Those things, what he's doing is stirring something within us. Because even in the moment of crisis, if we'll just stop and acknowledge the one who is God, if we'll stop and acknowledge the one who is Lord, that moment becomes something that's actually a sanctifying movement in our soul. It's a sanctifying movement. Why? Because His Word is truth, and we're sanctified by truth. His Word is not subject to the circumstance. The circumstance has to become subject to His Word. And no, the flood might come, it still has to succumb to the Word. It still has to be knowing that it's going to be repealed by the voice of God. I've heard testimonies where people were praying, and people were praying, and the water was right up to their house, and then it recedes. And even if it didn't recede from your house, that doesn't mean that God hasn't through with the situation yet. We're going to acknowledge that God is greater. We're going to acknowledge that His Word and His truth is greater than that circumstance. It's greater than whatever has come up against your life. And so many people, if you're watching online, you're probably not part of the flood. But you know what? It's the same lessons, the same oneness of spirit that is over and available to us all. No matter where we are at, there's an awakening that's happening in the spirit. There's a testimony of God being released. It's time for the nation to awaken. We've been studying out of 1 Peter 5:10 that it's the God of grace. The God of what? Grace. The God of grace that comes to perfect us, to confirm us, to strengthen us, to establish us. It's the God of grace who comes to bring these things into our life. It's the God of grace who comes to perfect us. In other words, bring us into completion. Bring us into a oneness with Him and a oneness with the hope that He already has called us to, that we spoke about earlier. See, the hope of His calling is first and foremost that you'll have a relationship with Him. That's His first hope. His next hope is that you'll follow Him. You'll walk with the God of grace and find every fulfillment of those things that He's established for you. And as we can see, socioeconomic barriers don't matter. I saw the water in rich neighborhoods. I saw the water in poor neighborhoods. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter with those things. What matters is what God is doing in your house. See, if all of your house, of all your belongings, all of your awareness of life and its success was in your things, and when those things all went out the door, what happens to you? You're finally stripped and ready for Christ. You're stripped and ready to put on a new clothing, a new garment, a garment of praise, a garment of glory, a garment of the presence and salvation of God, and a garment of His righteousness, because that's the only garment that's actually going to clothe you in the end anyway. Hallelujah. I didn't intend for those things to come out that way, but it's okay. He's going to establish us. That means He's going to plant us. I may feel a little more planted this week. I tell you, I feel a little more planted this week. And when there's a crisis, that's an opportunity. Every crisis is an opportunity. You just got to be looking. You got to be listening. You got to be awakened. Every crisis gives you an opportunity to be established in a new way. When you're established in a new way, there's a new strength that comes with it. Because see, God has an intention to multiply you. He has an intention to multiply, like He started out with Abraham, who was one when God first found him, God first looked upon him, and He began to have a relationship with Abraham. God found him as one, but He said, I'm going to multiply you. You might be one right now, but I'm going to multiply you. There's a scripture for that. I'll get to that later. But I'm going to multiply you. That's what it means to be established. It means to be, He's going to cause us to grow. He's going to cause us to be established. He's going to cause us to be multiplied. Our multiplication is not because, you know, something happens in the natural. Our multiplication is because we allow ourselves to be submitted in the Spirit. There has to be a submission in the Spirit. The thing that keeps us a lot of times is this illusion that the world has around us, this illusion that our position or our wealth or whatever it is that we are, this illusion that all those things that are around us, those things actually keep us in a place of independence sometime from God. And we want to acknowledge our dependence on Him. As we acknowledge our dependence on Him, we can begin to draw in to that which truly multiplies. Draw in to that which truly is establishing us. Because see, all those other things has so many found. All that other illusion just passes away so fleetingly. You know, there are some who are trying to say that, that Houston's being judged. Houston's not being judged. Houston's being given an opportunity to rise up and be a light to this nation to say, hey, this is how it can be done. This is why we serve God. And this is the God that we serve. Because we're not dependent on our stuff. We're looking to a God who loves us. We're looking to a God who desires us. We're looking to a God who wants to have a relationship with us and who is there for us in every situation. It's not judgment. It's time for advancement. It's time to step up. It's time for this city to reawaken to its roots. This city was founded in revival. This city was a big muck pond, and the Lord came and visited it 110 years ago or so, and it's time for us to awaken and become who we've been always called to be. For us not to just be a cradle for revival, but for us to be revival. The last time we only got to be the cradle. This time we get to be the revival. He's the one who's going to confirm it. He's the one who's going to perfect us in it. He's the one who brings us into completion as individuals and as a city. Don't you want to finish what was started? To see the revival, to see Holy Spirit operating in this city and in all our people, to be the voice of the Lord to a nation, to see those things that were spoken of and released 100 years ago come into pass. This is the opportunity that's with us. It's not a time to lose hope, it's a time to be hope. Hallelujah. I didn't have any of this prepared. It's okay. And we walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. We're not looking to what the world wants to look at. And I'm not choosing to listen to some prophet who's going to tell me that you're all doomed. You know what? I know a God of love. I know a God who cares about my end, who desires a good thing for me. And I'm going to stand here until it comes to pass, because I don't need to look at those other things, and I don't need to receive somebody else's word, because then I can't pray for what God's always wanting to deliver. He wouldn't have had me talking about this season of completion if it was, for these 4 weeks before this event, if it wasn't that He was going to move us into it. It doesn't matter what we've seen. It doesn't matter what the circumstance might look like. It matters, do we put a heart of completion within ourselves? Do we have it within us to draw back the bow and take aim at the target and let it go? Do we have it? I think we do. He wouldn't have brought it. He wouldn't have allowed it unless we have it. So let's let it, when the prophet speaks and he said, let's take your arrows and strike the earth. Let's strike the earth more than 3 times this time. Let's strike the earth more than 4 times this time. Let's strike the earth more than 5 times this time. Let's strike the earth more than 6 times this time. Let's strike the earth until we don't have anything left to strike with. Because until the enemy is abolished, until the enemy has been moved out of our city, and until the enemy has been moved out of our life and out of our families and out of our relatives, until the enemy has been exposed everywhere that he is, and he has a run, never to come back again. Hallelujah. Remember last week, it was the week before we were interrupted so rudely by this flooding thing. We were talking about out of Hebrews 11. Out of Hebrews 11 where it's God who's writing your story. It's the Holy Spirit who's narrating for you, who's telling who you are, who's releasing truth about you. And when God writes your story, it looks a little different than the circumstance might have at the time. When He's relating your story, He's not relating about your failures. He's not relating about your losses. He's relating about your faith. He's relating about where you stood, not necessarily what happened, but He's relating about what was in your heart. He's speaking not about those things that happened where you let Him down. He's speaking about the things where He could come alongside you and say, Papa's with you, buddy. And I'm proud. Because every one of the patriarchs, they all had an issue. Most of them had several issues. Most of them had some major issues. But you know what? God didn't record those issues in Hebrews 11 in the chapter of faith, in the hall of fame of faith. What He recorded about is what they stepped into. He started what He recorded about was the destiny that was released through these very flawed people. You know what? I take great confidence there because I'm qualified. If He can do it through their flaws, He can do it through my flaws. If He can do it through them, if He can do it through Moses, He can do it through you. If He can do it through David, He can do it through you. We just have to have a heart that is after His heart. When our heart is after God's heart, when our heart is desiring the thing of God, it doesn't matter what else is going on. When our heart is desiring the thing of God, He's going to make it happen. He's going to make your presence happen. He's going to make that holiness, that righteousness around your life happen. He's going to make the light and the love flow in a way that's beyond your measure. Because it's this desire to move you that way. Hallelujah. Oh, man. See, your losses, your failures, they don't have to follow you. That's the lesson we can learn from Hebrews 11. Your loss, your failure, it doesn't have to stay with you. I've heard so many stories this week about people who were flooded out before, in years before, 10 years before, 5 years before, 20 years before. And I've come to see how the restoration of God has come into their life and brought some hope and brought a strength and brought a resolve to know the thing that they're facing today isn't going to be the same tomorrow. Hallelujah. Golly, I just feel this holiness. It's like, brrr. Now, sometimes we bought into a lie that just because you're a Christian, that it's going to be life happily ever after. And that's just not what God promised. God promised that I'll be with you. And He promises that there's a good end. But He didn't say that at every moment of every waking day was going to be a rose garden. What He said is, I'll be with you and it's more than enough. I'll be with you and I'm going to carry you through. If you'll let go of your control, you can begin to let me be your dependency. Sometimes we think that if something bad happens to us, it means we're a failure. No, if something bad happens to you, it just means that you've got an opportunity to know a little bit more about God. I heard about a lady in River Oaks who was a lady that you would read about in the society pages and whatnot. And they had to come and get her out in a boat, in a little John boat, and take her out because the water was deep around her house. You know what? God didn't care that she's somebody from society. She, at that moment, probably didn't care. I just want to get in the boat. I want to get out of here. But as soon as she was in the boat, then she started trying to take command of the boat. Take control of the boat. Why? Because if you have a controlled nature, in other words, if you're used to having it all together, what you want to do in every situation is try to recontrol it so that you can be safe. No, our safety is never in those things. All right, that's the thing that we got to let go of. That's the thing that's keeping us. That's an independence that keeps us from truly knowing Him. Well, that's the part of the illusion that we're trying to create. And so it's time for us to let it go and say, hey, Captain, just take me home. Captain, take the ship where it needs to go. Captain, I thank you because I'm going to just release control to you. I don't need to be telling you how to run the ship. You just tell me how to sit here and be a good passenger. You know, it's in our nature to want to create safety around us. It's in our nature to want to create order around us because, see, in those things we find some comfort. But if we make God our comfort, we don't need those things anymore. Those things are things that are strongholds that need to be ripped off of our hearts and our lives and recognizing that He's the one who's in charge. Because as we recognize He's the one who's in charge, His authority is released in our life. Hallelujah. So far, I haven't started yet. Yes, ma'am. Hang on 1 second.
Okay, when Pastor Chuck was speaking about the storms and how we were not impacted, this is what I heard the Spirit of the Lord say. He said there are storms that we call external and internal. And He said that, and this is blessing me, He said that many of us were not impacted externally, but some of us are dealing internally. But it's Him that's doing it, because it's Him that's causing the storms to erupt in us. Why? Because of what you just said. These are the things that we have to let go. These are the things that God is driving out of us, so that we can get to know Him, so that we can really depend upon Him. The people that are dealing externally, we can see that. And you know what? It takes us to see that to really understand what's really going on the inside of us. And so all I hear Him saying today is that God is not looking at all of that. He wrote our story in Hebrews 11. Although we are dealing internally, it's Him that's going in and uprooting and bringing up and causing the disturbance. It's Him. Although we're saying, peace be still, peace be still. Peace is not being still because it's Him. It's Him that's causing it. Why? Because the purpose is to the end of the story in Hebrews 11. That's where God is bringing us. I heard that.
Yes, because He's bringing us into the moment of faith. He's bringing us into the conviction of faith. He's bringing us, whether your storm is an external event or it's an internal event. And you know, for some people, it's a both. Yeah, I watched my brother on, and they've got 4.5 feet of water. The water's up to here, or was up to here. Every light, you know where the light switches are? That's where the water was. Middle of the light switch. Some storms are external, but you know what? That external storm also created an internal storm. Why? Because, you know, all your stuff. But you know what? We aren't limited by stuff. Not when we allow God to do what He wants to do in us. When He begins to make aware in us, we have a greater hope than all the things that are around us. We have a greater hope than whatever consequence or whatever situation we might be looking at right now. We have a greater hope because it's Christ in us, the hope of glory. It's Christ in us, the hope of glory, who's turning that internal storm and that external storm into something that creates destiny for your life, into something that creates destiny for the city, into something that creates destiny to be released everywhere we go. We have an opportunity to share out of an inner peace and out of a desire to know Him and out of a desire to represent Him, to share that with everyone. You don't have to go and preach to them. You just have to go and live with them and go and be among them. And so they can go, hey, there's something different about you. There's something different about you. Can you tell me, how do I get this peace that I see in you? Because if we'll be that, We're being the light. I don't have to shout it from the rooftop. I just have to live it in my life and live it in my heart and allow people to see what God has already planted in me. Hallelujah. Yes, the storms are not all external. They're not all external. The internal actually are probably the ones that God wants the most. The internal are the ones that God has probably the greatest desire to deal with, because your external circumstance, He can change around. Your internal circumstance is something where He has to have your agreement to change it. He can change the outside of it in an instant. We all see that this week. The inside of us, we have to agree. We have to say, Lord, change me. Change me. Lord, change Chris. I tell you, every patriarch found his place of weakness. But every patriarch found a place of faith, a place of new strength. And it got recorded as faith. We have the opportunity to do the same thing. Find a place of new strength this week. Our strength is in Him. Our strength is in Him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians. I'm finally going to actually start the message. No, that wasn't a joke. That was all just... Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 11. See, well, this week we've seen what the power of nature can do. We've seen the power of nature and how it just totally changes the landscape. The amazing thing in my brother-in-law's house is that in the back of his property, at the very back edge of his property, there was a shed and a riding lawnmower in the shed. That shed and that riding lawnmower wound up across the street, down the house, and in the backyard of somebody else's backyard. And then the shed was in the backyard of the next people's house back from there. I mean, it was like a block away, just swept by the current. And the current doesn't go up and down the street like you think. It went from the front of his house to from the back of his house to the front. The river rose up behind him and snuck up on him. And somebody had remembered what happened in 94 and was kind enough to say, hey, the water's coming, and in 94 it swept through here, and you won't even see it. Get out now. And they did. It's a good thing. Good thing. See, the power of nature is one thing, but the power of God is so much greater. The power of God is so much more. Because He's awakening us to something that we didn't even recognize before. Because He's placed within us a capacity to deal with these things. He's placed within us a capacity to release a hope and to release destiny in the middle of this. He did the same thing for Paul. And just take a quick look at the things. I'm going to just kind of skip through this a little bit. The things that were happening with Paul. No, he first starts out to say, are they Hebrews? So am I. Verse 22. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they descendants of Abraham? So am I. In other words, all the qualifications that come with the illusion he had. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He had the illusion going on. He knew how to represent himself. Yeah. Yep. The illusion going on. Are they servants of Christ? I more so. And for far more in labors and far more in imprisonments, beaten without number, often in danger of death. 5 times I received from the Jews 39 lashes. You weren't really expected to survive that. 3 times I was beaten with rods. When you're beaten with rods, they take rods and they beat your feet until they're pulp. You're not supposed to ever walk again. The man put 3,000 miles on his feet that had been beaten with rods. 3,000 miles that were recorded, not counting the ones where you're walking to the, you know, from your bedroom to the sink to get a glass of water. 3,000 miles in his missionary journey on feet that had been beaten with rods that were never supposed to walk again. Once I was stoned. You know, when they stoned you, they make sure that you're dead. When they stone you and they leave you because it's finished. But it wasn't. You can almost hear the dun 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 dun. A night and a day I've spent in the deep and frequent journeys and dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my countrymen, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the wilderness, dangers from the false brethren. That was probably the most dangerous one of all, the false brethren. I was walking in to go see Carolyn's house, and I'm walking through this water, and I'm going across this little bridge, and you know, there's something that's supposed to be just a little, it's not a bayou or anything, I guess it's just a little runoff place. But then it was just a river. And alongside it, I saw these four Hispanics coming out of a house with bags and sacks and stuff like that. I didn't think anything of it. I just said, you know, they're just retrieving their stuff. Well, when I got over to the house, which is a block over and three blocks down, two blocks over and three blocks down, when I finally got there, there was a guy who came through on a four-wheel looking for those guys. He said, did you see four Hispanics come through here? Actually, he just said four males. And I said, four Hispanic males? And I said, yeah. And he said, well, basically, they just got through robbing somebody's house. So I didn't realize it at that moment. So anyway, but my point was, you know, we never know what you're encountering. You don't know what's happening in that moment. But God knows. He makes a way where there is no way. He makes a provision when there is no provision. Sometimes the dangers are around us and we're not touched by them, but they're around us nonetheless. And we may be blind to it, we may not be blind to it, but we begin to understand that God is with us and He's covering us and protecting us. I'd actually taken a picture of them. God is protecting. God is protecting. We see in Paul somebody who is stretched beyond human capacity in every way. Someone whose heart was for the people. Someone whose heart was for the churches he's planted. Someone whose physical body was put through extreme measures of pain and extreme dangers. And yet he pursued God. And yet his whole heart was after what God was doing and what could be released through him in the moment. He looked at his life and he said, maybe I have not done everything I could possibly do. But he didn't understand the value of the letters that he left us. He didn't understand the value of the testimony that he was releasing through those letters. The value of, hey, if Paul can do it, we can do it too. If Paul can make it through the stoning and he make it through the being beaten with rods and being imprisoned multiple times and all these things, whatever it is that I'm facing today, I can do it too. And I can live and testify to the glory of God in the process. Because Paul did it. Paul did it. See, do you see his heart for the church? He says, verse 28, apart from its external things, there's the daily pressure upon me of concern for all the churches. Who is weak without my being weak? Who is led into sin without my intense concern? See, Paul's heart was not about, he wasn't worrying about those little things that had damaged him. He wasn't, and I'm not making light of being beaten with rods. or to having all the skin. You know, when they beat you with the 39 lashes, those things had stuff on it, little pieces of stone and glass. It was intended, as it wrapped around you, they were in front of you, and as it wrapped around you, it was intended to flail and dig into your skin and turn and just tear your skin off your back. 39 lashes. Four times, five times. But his concern wasn't for those things. He wasn't saying, oh, poor me. He was saying, who is burdened in front of my church like I am? Who cares about the people like I do? Who's out there having compassion for those who have fallen into some sin like I do? Who is wanting to bring deliverance like I do? So this is the setting that he finds himself in. There was no more illusion of control in his life. There was no more illusion of anything but just in the acknowledgement of his complete and total dependency upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he understood that my title didn't mean anything. My rank didn't mean anything. My rights as a Jew didn't mean anything. The only thing that means anything in more is my place with Christ. My dependency, my relationship with the one who loves me. Hallelujah. So flip a page. Because we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 12. And you all are very familiar with this, verse 9. And he said, my grace. See, he's entreating God concerning, this imp that keeps tormenting him. And there's something that the devil had assigned against him, and it was tormenting him. And he said, I need something here. This territorial spirit would come and made Paul his personal assignment because he was getting too much into the Word of God was getting too much around. And so this Paul says, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. See, what he's beginning to recognize, what the Lord is saying to him, is my grace, the God of grace, the God of grace who's what? Who comes to perfect us, who comes to affirm us, who comes to strengthen us, who comes to bring us into a completion and a maturity, who comes to establish us. That God of grace said, my grace is sufficient for you. Your dependency upon me, when you're dependent upon me, then I can release my grace upon you. And I can release my grace upon your destiny. And I can release my grace upon the calling that I placed within you. I can release my grace and so that you can begin to understand the inheritance of Christ that already is within. So that you're no longer thinking you're just a sinner. You're not a sinner anymore. You're someone who is then set free by grace. I don't have to be dependent on my external circumstance. I'm not dependent upon even my good actions. I am only dependent upon Him and His grace. It's His grace that separates us. It separates us into our call. It separates us from the neighbor who doesn't know God. It separates us in a good and pleasant way. See, there are some separations that happen that are not what God has intended, but there are some separations that happen because we need to be separated from our old self. We need to be separated from the sin. We need to be separated from the addictions. We need to be separated from those things. Sometimes we have to be separated from an old neighbor that doesn't matter, somebody who was close to us, because God says, that ain't going to do anymore. But there's a separation that establishes you in cooperation with Him. And a destiny with Him. I wasn't even going there, but throw that in there. But see, this grace is our source of refuge. It's our strength in time of weakness. It's what we call upon, because in our time of weakness, we can call upon His grace, recognizing we're not having to do this all by ourselves. We don't have to face it all by ourselves. When we call upon this grace will carry us forward, and it will complete the work that God has set forth in you. Hallelujah. He's talking about hallelujah. Let's go to chapter 13, verse 4. It says, "For indeed He," being Christ, "was crucified because of weakness, yet He lives because of the power of God. For we are also are weak in Him, yet we shall live with Him because of the power of God directed towards you." Because of the power of God in you. Remember what we talked about in Ephesians, where we said we shall know the surpassing greatness of the power of God for our life, of the dunamis of God for our life. This is what He's reaffirming in this place right here. He's reaffirming. It's the dunamis of God that comes through His grace that's going to affirm you. It's going to establish you. It's going to perfect you. It's going to bring you into the completion of His desire over you. By the way, it will also allow you to overcome that external pressure and the internal pressure. Whether your storm is external or internal, He's going to deliver you from it by His grace. Some of us have only known an internal storm. Some of us have known only an external storm. Some of us have known both in the same moment. But God is the God of grace who comes to establish you. See, we can know, the thing that can separate us from the lost is that we can know, you know, our Christianity is not because everything's going to be rosy and perfect. Our Christianity is to go that we have a resource that others don't. We have a safety that they can't have. We have a place of dwelling that they don't. We have a place where we can come up into the presence of God, being welcomed and embraced by Him in a way that they can't relate to yet. And as we do so, we set forth a testimony that encourages them to find it. Hallelujah. 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 See, it's the Holy Spirit who comes into cooperation, Romans 8:26, who comes into cooperation with the intention of God over your life. And He already knows your infirmities. And it says He prays for your infirmity. When we lead ourselves to praying in tongues, He prays for your infirmity through you. Even though we don't know what it is we're praying for. He's already lifting it up and presenting your cause and your case before Christ. He's already taken it, and Christ has taken that case. He's receiving it, and He goes, "Father, look at Steve. Lord, we're coming into unison here. Now let's release our blessing. Let's release our strength. Let's release grace on His behalf." We shall know the surpassing power, the surpassing greatness of His power to us and in us. Second Corinthians 13, verse 9. "For we rejoice ourselves, and when we ourselves are weak, but you are strong. This we pray, that you be made complete." This we pray, that you be made complete. That you be made whole, lacking nothing. Become mature in all aspects. See, we can't become mature until we've been through something to test it. We can't become mature until we've had a test. We can think, sometimes we have an overinflated understanding of where our faith is. Well, we can come mature when it's tested and found strong. All doubt is removed in the test. To have a doubt's not a problem. To be frozen by the fear of the doubt, that's a problem. Having a doubt's not an issue. That's just a thing where the test or a little more research will remove the doubt. To question something is actually a good thing because it's part of the process towards maturity. But he comes to give you the voice and the ability to overcome. See, sometimes you have to begin to speak it. That's why he gives you the voice. You have to begin to speak it so it can be released. Verse 11. Finally, brethren, rejoice. Be made complete. Be comforted. Be like-minded. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. The God of love and peace shall be with you when you're made complete. In other words, at the end of the story, there's a union and a unity that can't be broken that's already upon you. And so we can operate out of love. We can operate out of peace. We can operate out of the character and the nature of the Father because we will become one in Him. That's the place of completion that is being released. And this is the day of opportunity. This is the day of opportunity. This is the day where it begins to be declared and it begins to be seen and the voice begins to be heard because God is putting a voice in each and every one of you. God is putting a voice and an opportunity before you. And as He does so, it's going to be declared to the nation. We shall see the things that the saints wanted to see. We shall know the heart of revival, the beating of the heart of God that they always wanted to have. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn to Isaiah 40. You know what? I'm going to turn to Isaiah 51 because Isaiah 40, we all know, but he says he's going to give us strength to mount up with wings as eagles. Okay? He says, you'll walk and not be weary. Even though the young might grow faint, you'll be able to walk and not grow weary. Run. And mount up on the wings of eagles, and His hand will be over you. He declares those things, but He also declares in Isaiah 51. Isaiah 51, verse 3. So He says, indeed, the Lord will comfort Zion. Indeed, the Lord will comfort Houston. He will comfort all her waste places and her wilderness. He will make like Eden and her desert like the garden of the Lord. Joy and gladness will be found in her, thanksgiving and the sound of a melody in hearts that have been set free. And you see in verse 2, His intention to say, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who gave birth to you in pain. When he was one, I called him, and then I blessed him and multiplied him. And then he begins to say, then I'm going to release you into these things. I'm going to bless you. He intends to multiply us. These calamities, he was talking to a people who were in captivity. He was talking to a people who had 70 years to wait to get out of their captivity. But he was saying, I'm going to take you out and I'm going to cause you to be increased. And in the midst of that, there's going to be a sound of thanksgiving. The thanksgiving starts before the deliverance happens. We have to give Him a thanksgiving, a heart of thanksgiving. As we give Him a heart of thanksgiving, we're positioning ourselves in the victory. He's given you a voice of joy and gladness, as it says in Jeremiah. See, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of a bridegroom is always a voice of delight. It's a voice that desires to bring forth the fulfillment of the moment, the fulfillment of destiny. God is shaking, and He's bringing forth an opportunity. He's bringing forth, we'll mount up with wings as eagles. He's bringing forth a new strength for the completion. He's not going to just put a season of completion in front of you. He brings forth a new strength to go with it. He's bringing forth this thing called grace, because it's the God of grace who's delivering us. It's the God of grace who makes the difference. It's the God of grace who allows us to live life a little differently than the rest of the world. It's the God of grace who keeps us safe in a way that the world can never know. It's the God of grace who keeps us and draws us near. Because see, that safety that we find when we draw near, that's the only safety that can never be taken away. All the other things are an illusion in this life. I learned a long time ago that all the trappings of life were just nothing more than an illusion. Doesn't mean that you don't have things that you should be doing towards your future, but you also have to remember my utter and complete dependency when it comes down to it must be in Christ. Because those other things are going to go away at some point. My faith is in Him. My faith, say it with me, my faith is in Him. My faith is in Him. My faith is in Him. Hallelujah. See, it's not what happens. It's not what happens to you that matters. It's how you finish. When our faith is in Him, our finish is in the right place. When our faith is in Him, it allows us to carry on. When our faith is in Him, it allows us to stand forth and declare the virtues of God, the holiness and righteousness of God. It allows us to find something and emit something, to release something that the world does not have. We can be a fragrant aroma that releases truth. A fragrant aroma that releases hope and demonstrates love. Jeremiah 30, verse 18 speaks about revealing or rebuilding upon our own heap. If you've been around some of these neighborhoods, you understand about what rebuilding upon your own heap means. I mean, there's heaps of trash in some of these neighborhoods. They're 8-10 feet tall, and as far as you can see, just heaps of trash. Dreams that have been crushed, lives that have been changed. But God says we're going to rebuild upon our heap. Jeremiah 30, verse 18 says we're going to rebuild upon the heap. And verse 19 goes on to say, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. It's His desire to release us, increase us, and give us an opportunity to have a voice to a dying and lost world. A world that needs a Savior. God bless you all this week. I thank each and every one of you for your labors. I've seen the labors all through so many people. I've seen the unity of so many people. I've seen people coming together in remarkable ways. People coming from out of state to come and just help. People from our own city reaching out to help one another. And they're standing in floodwaters and all they're asking is, what can I do for you? God bless you this week as we help one another and we lift us up with the cause of Christ. We lift up the cause of Christ in these coming weeks, the voice of the Lord, and begin to spread the voice of the Lord over the waters. Hallelujah. God bless you and we love you. Hallelujah.